I understand that some of you won't have a clue what I'm talking about, and some of you probably know way more than I know about this. But I'm going to talk from about a 4-year process, coming from someone who never felt anything in the spirit realm, to where I am now, learning to come over it and how to not let it affect me, okay? I hope that we can impart to you guys tonight the effectiveness of the ministry. We're going to look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. We're going to start and end there. So you might as well just open your Bibles there. The rest of the places I go, I'll just mention some verses, so we'll just basically be there. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore. Having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. I want to start out focusing on verse 12, and I want to kind of set the theme, or the if it was going to be a movie, I would say the tone, okay, of what we're doing. Have you ever walked into a room and all of a sudden you're angry about something? Like you're la 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 having a good day, and then you walk in, all of a sudden, I don't know why, but I just want to smack somebody. No, never. Okay, no hands went up on that one. Yeah, someone's like, okay, there we go. No, I didn't. Have you ever, this is a really good one. Have you ever, like, gotten lost when you're driving? Both hands go up. Yeah. Well, as you go further and further from your destination, and you start going through some seedy parts of town, have you ever started to feel fear? Yeah. All of a sudden, the excitement for this adventure you're on, all of a sudden you're like, oh, let's not run out of gas here. Yeah. Okay. You know, we have a phrase in English that says, I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Have you ever had that? You don't know why you just wake up grumpy in the morning? Those are atmospheres that we're going to talk through. How many of you don't feel? I mean, you would say like, oh, no, ever sense anything. People are telling me what's going on and I don't sense anything. How many of you guys? It's okay, not to be embarrassed. All right. How about this? Hollywood does a great job artificially changing atmospheres. I grew up in the... And, you know, it was all the scare me movies. This was the Friday the 13th, one. Yeah. Not like 12, yeah, I'm telling myself. One, two. Jaws. Do you know, I still, when I go swimming in Shasta Lake, I hear, da-na, na-na, na-na. Yeah. You know, but I grew up in the era of just scare me. Just try to scare me. And I would go to a movie and I'd be like, come on, just try to scare me. And then I'd walk out, oh my gosh, he's still alive. I know he's still alive and it's dark and I have to walk to my car and he's gonna get me. See, Hollywood is very good at artificially shifting atmospheres. Do you see that? Aha. Now we have an idea of where we're going with this. I used to laugh at my mom because I was talking to Dan earlier about this, and I said, if I had to think of a sci-fi word for my mom, I would say empath. Like she, you know, like someone walks by and she could feel them. You know, an empath, you know, sci-fi, Star Trek. Come on. Come on. Come on, Trekkies. I'm not that old. There's some Trekkies out there. Okay. And I used to laugh at her because I didn't feel it. No, I didn't feel it at all. Like, no, come on, you're not. There's nothing going on. And then something would happen and it would play out what she told me was truth. Well, I've been here for, how long have we been here, hon? 12, 13 years now? Yeah. And I spent the first 2 years on the prayer line, one of the only two people standing on the prayer line. I felt nothing, sensed nothing, heard nothing. First thing I ever heard from the Lord was nice. The second thing I heard wasn't. It was a big swat. Ow. So when I started actually feeling the spirit realm, I didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm angry. You know, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, oh, here. Like, scratch their eyes out. And I'm thinking, I know this can't be hormonal every day. But I had no grid. What do I do with these feelings? What do I do with this? And I went into Denny Silk and I sat down a couple years ago and I sat in his chair and I said, Danny, how do you keep the spirit realm from tossing you to and fro? And he's like, well, you know, you're supposed to be over that, like above that. I said, that sounds scriptural. Now, how do you do it? He said, I don't know. So we're going to work on figuring it out tonight. And I hope you leave understanding not only can you feel, but not to be afraid of what you feel and how to stand over it and have authority over it. How many of you are tired of being tossed to and fro? Yeah, I hate it. Yeah, they're like, yeah. Me. Yeah, there's another ministry for that. Okay, silliness aside. Proverbs 25, 28. Proverbs 25, 28 says, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. If I have no control over my spirit, everything that comes my way comes to me, and I have no walls as a city. So any force that comes up against the city, any attacking force can come on in. So somehow I need to be able to rule my spirit, okay? The first step in winning this battle is the hardest one. The first thing we need to do is discern the atmosphere. It's the hardest one. Because in order to discern the atmosphere, we have to actually open our belief system that there's a possibility that something is bigger than me that I'm walking into. See, I think it's really funny that it's really not all about you. But, you know, we walk around and think, you know, everything's this way. And, you know, Eeyore, it's going to rain. My tail's going to fall off in the mud. I mean, you know, there's this sense of what the atmosphere that he would bring. I love the Pooh characters. You can just see by who they are what atmosphere they carry with them. Okay? You got the stuff with fluff and everything's going to be okay. You know, it doesn't have much brains, but it's going to work out. You have the religious spirit owl sitting there telling us all about it. And you have a rabbit who's like, stop it. That used to be me. What I found in the discerning realm is what really helped me was to connect with people who already felt. And it really helped me to bring to the light what was going on inside. So really good friends of mine, I mean, I wouldn't just tell anyone on the street what I was feeling. Okay, you have to have boundaries on your own self too. So I would have someone ask me, how's your day going? I said, great. And then I'd have a good friend ask me, how's your day going? I said, I'm just angry inside. And my friends would go, yeah, it's in the air. It's in the air? But you know what that did? It helped me to realize this thing that I'm feeling is bigger than me. Not bigger than me so that I have to come under it, but bigger than me, I don't have to fight me in this. That I can take authority over me in the place that it is. Might get in trouble for this one. Jesus culture is coming next week. Yay. How many of you this week have had sexually charged atmosphere? Come on. Jesus culture is coming. Every time Jesus culture comes, a week or two before, all the sexual, spiritual garbage gets released against the purity of the call that's coming. Now, when I tell people that, they go, oh, good. Oh, I thought it was just me. Okay. Now, some of you are like, I never feel it. Great. But those of you that feel it, didn't that just make you feel better? You're just like, oh, good. You know, and the other thing is the enemy tries to do is to get you in condemnation so that you aren't able to participate in the air. It's like light bulbs are going on. I'm seeing people going, oh, look at that. Also, in being open to people, you know, that's vulnerable. You're so vulnerable. I mean, when my friends come up to me and go, how are you doing? I said, you know, I hope you're going to tell me that there's something sexually going on in the atmosphere. Because if not, I just open myself up to looking like I'm not very Christian. And they're like, oh, good, you felt it too. See, but the things that are not familiar to you, the things that you don't struggle with, are easy to pick out. See, I don't deal with sexual sin. I'm thank you, Jesus. I just don't. So whenever that atmosphere is around, I can feel it instantly. And I know that's not me. There are other things that used to be familiar to me that took me a couple years to figure out because it was so familiar to me that I would just let it come on and assume it was me. The biggest one was fatigue. Weariness, lethargy. You know, we are all running around like maniacs here. And we're flying here, we're flying there. We went to Singapore, came back a week, went to England, went to Norway, went to the Caribbean on vacation, baby, come on. And now we're here. I should be tired, right? No. See, when I think, oh, I'm just tired, and I just can't get out of bed. I'm still on Island Diamond. And then my friends come up to me and go, there's something on you. And they pray for me. All of a sudden, oh, look at here. This is great. I'm doing great. And I was like, caffeine rush. And I realized, oh, I should have had a V8. It got me again because that's something that I'm used to and familiar with. I grew up with a work ethic in my home from my parents. We work and work and work and work and work and work. And you come home and you just crash. You're so exhausted. See, the pattern was normal for me. But that's where it lies in that place that you're not able to come over. So what's helpful is to allow people to speak into your life when they see things you don't see. I mean, I could easily say, oh no, I don't need any prayer. I'm just tired because, you know, I've been running around the earth and having fun and doing all the stuff that I love to do. But my friends go, no, there is something on you. I mean, get it off. Okay. Do you see? It's like, it's relationship that teaches us how to discern these things. You know, Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Two interesting things in there. One is I get to practice. I don't have to get it right the first time, second, third, or fourth time. I get to practice training my senses. The other point in this that Faith brought up the other day is if it says that we have our senses trained to discern, then we must be able to sense or we wouldn't be able to train them, okay? If you get nothing else out of this, and you're going to get a lot more out of this because we're going to start breaking stuff off of you guys in a little bit. Don't run out yet. If you get nothing else, as you start this process, begin with this tool. I call it check yourself at the door. How do you think people get words of knowledge for physical healing? Tons of you were in the healing school. How do you do it? You check your body. How am I feeling? I get up this morning, I'm doing fine. I walk outside and I'm around a group and all of a sudden, oh, my shoulder. Oh, there must be somebody here who has a shoulder problem. Right? Oh, my knee. Okay, my knee. Okay, there's something. Because I didn't walk into the atmosphere with a knee problem. It's the same theme for discerning the spiritual climates. We were laughing that, you know, we could call it climate control or something. I check myself. How am I doing? I wake up in the morning and there is no wrong side of the bed, by the way. Okay, you don't get back on, roll over and go to the other side. You take authority over it. I don't have to walk with this grumpy mode. okay? I was going to say something. It's not your spouse you're talking to. It's yourself. Okay. So I do. I check myself. How am I doing? I wake up. I'm happy. I walk into work. I walk into a store. I walk into somewhere, and I'm sensing, how am I feeling now that I'm in a new climate, a new atmosphere? Because what has happened between here and there tells me what's in the atmosphere. There are some stores in town that I have a hard time going into because I want to buy everything on the shelf. I do. I mean, it's hilarious. It's like, I have to have 6 cans of chili and 8 cans of tomatoes and 9 peanut butter sandwiches or whatever. I mean, it's like, I have to buy it, I have to buy it, I have to buy it. Oh, I didn't walk in with that. I have a list of 4 things. My son Timmy calls that bachelor shopping. When he goes with me, he goes, no, we are bachelor shopping. 4 things on the list. But in certain stores, it's like, but I just want to buy it all. Oh, that's a good price. I just got to get 10 of them. Well, that's a good atmosphere for them because they sell a lot. Yeah. But what happens is I have stepped into a panic place. I have stepped into, it's going to be gone any minute. I've stepped into the blue light specials and hurry, rush to it now. Yeah. And if I don't take control over it, I come home with a whole lot more than was on my list. Okay? Am I making sense? All right. Once you have discerned the spirit, you are pretty close to being master over it. It's almost like the, I see you and you are going down. You know, it's the discerning it, the seeing it, that's the hardest thing. So we're going to look through relationship and we're going to practice it. We're going to be vulnerable to close friends, not to people who don't already think you're crazy. Okay, but to your close friends. Genesis 4, 6 through 8. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. But you must master it. But Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. I don't think he mastered that spiritual realm he was in very well. He carried it with him. He allowed his self-talk, we're going to talk about some of that in a minute, to fuel that place. Okay. If I check myself at the door and I know I'm feeling good, and all of a sudden I walk in and I am as angry as can be, then I have the opportunity to partner with it, the sin that is coming at me, or I have the ability to say, you know what? I didn't come in with you and I'm not walking with you. And I send you back. And the atmosphere shifts around you. See, the idea is we are to affect the world. The world isn't supposed to affect us. But if we can't discern it, if we don't have the techniques to figure out what to do about it, then we come under the world's atmospheres. I think it's really fun. Many times I've done this. People are arguing on the streets or screaming and yelling at each other. And, you know, say it's uptown and there's, you know, you can like pretend to window shop, and I'll just pretend to window shop, and I'll be shabarada, shomarada kida, hulada peace, shalomarada, shamarada kida, and then it's like they quit arguing and they look at each other like, oh, whatever. See, because we have the ability to discern it, to not partner. Now I can walk in that and just get in on the fight. Yeah, well, leave her alone. Stop it. Do this stuff. Okay, which people do, and it becomes mobs, or we can shift the atmosphere by releasing the opposite. Okay? Yeah. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Yeah. There are so many times, because of the ministry that I do, inner healing deliverance, there are so many times where I'm invited into people's atmospheres. People come with self-pity. People come with pain, with sorrow. Sometimes the hardest things to do in those situations is not to partner with what they bring to the table. You know, and I've gotten to the place now where I sin. And my best phrase, I don't know how else to explain it, is check myself at the door. I walk in and I think God's going to show up because he always does. And I walk in, I think he's going to show up. This is going to be amazing. And within 5 minutes, I'm like, oh my gosh, this person is too screwed up. What just happened? I just came under their atmosphere of fear of, you can't help me. I am too messed up. I've tried everybody and nobody can help me. Yeah. I had a guy come in one time And he said, I don't hear, I don't see, I don't feel. I've already had a sozo. It failed. Didn't work. And here I am. And without thinking about it, because I didn't come in with that. I came in with, yay, I got someone else coming in the door. God's going to show up. Going to happen. Okay. And I said, great. He goes, what? I said, we can only go up from here. I said, I can't let you down. And it just diluted and dissolved the hopelessness. See, for me, that's resisting the devil and the sin that is crouching at the door, the sin that's saying, join with me, join with helplessness, join with the inability to rise above this. And when we do, we have no authority over it. And he would not have gone out changed had I partnered with that. I want to go back to Ephesians. I mean, I could talk about this all night, and I won't for you guys, but I could just blab and blab and blab on this because it is something that is so huge in what we do. When we travel, we like to bring words to churches about, this is what I see in your area, this is what I see in your area, and now you get to take care of it because it's your area. I mean, it's fun for us, okay? How many of you coming to Reading can peg the critters in our atmosphere? Come on. Okay. How many of you think you can, but you didn't want to admit it? All right. Okay, how many of you have had this thought while you've been here this week? I don't know if it's going to be possible. How many of you had that thought? Come on, be honest. Yeah, that's one of the critters in our atmosphere. See, when you come into our atmosphere, you can discern it easy because it's not familiar to you. So when I go to your place, I can say, ooh, dang, that one's here. Because it talks to us, we discern it, we feel it, and we know, huh, that one's not one that I normally deal with. You know, I'm going to put a little side note in here, and I'm going to be kind of funny later, but there are three voices always talking in your head. You, the enemy, and God, okay? If there's more than that, again, we have other ministries that can help you. The problem is, those thoughts that come your way, the problem is our self-talk has joined so much of the enemy's voice, we can't figure out which one of us is talking. Okay? But I will guarantee you, anything that is condemning is not God's voice. How many of you have been swatted by God? I mean, really, come on. Correction. How many of you have been corrected by God? Ow! But I've never felt condemned. There's the difference. I mean, I have felt like, oh, I can't believe I messed up like that. God, I am so sorry. And, you know, my rear is really hurting where you swatted me. Dang. But you still love me? You're not putting this shame on me? You're not condemning me? I mean, there's a clue as a side note to whose voice is in your head. Any thought that is condemning is going to be the enemy or your self-talk that you've learned to join with, okay? Some of you are going to get free just understanding that one, okay? Back to Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Isn't that great? His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's the atmospheres. It's the things in charge of the atmospheres that our war is against. But we have read the end of the book. We win. And we don't just win then, we win now.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. Having done everything to stand firm, therefore. Don't you think that's interesting? When you've done all to stand, stand. And it's not like, to me, when you've done all to stand, then you just better jolly well stand. Or it's when you've done all to stand, then a prophetic declaration, God says, stand. Bam. Because I can stand because I've done all to stand. And he partners with me and he says, stand. Stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. In this situation, to me, truth is the discerning of the atmosphere. The truth, I'm able to look at this. I'm girding my loins with truth because I'm being able to rightly discern between good and evil. I'm able to say, didn't come in with this, not going home with it. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. See, to me, that's the answer to that condemning voice in your head. That you walk into a room, you didn't bring it into the room. Let's say you walk in, you're doing fine, and all of a sudden all this sexual stuff just starts unloading in your brain. If I did not walk into the room with that, then what's going on here I can discern is not me. Now what happens after that is, I can't believe you're thinking about that kind of stuff. WWJD. Yes. What would Jesus do? Come on. But if I'm clothed with the breastplate of righteousness, I am righteous because of Jesus's righteousness. So no matter what comes across my grid, I can say, oh, dog, nope, not my thoughts. And I'm not taking you as condemnation. And I'm giving that to Christ. And I just release you, Christ, to be my righteousness. The moment you do that, that whole argument, that whole cycle that you're about to go through, you just won. Okay? How many of us do that? How many of us torment ourselves and then we blame somebody else for our misery? And it's our own little self-talk going on in there. And even if we are in sin, when we repent, we are redeemed. Okay? Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, this is important to me. One of my favorite, I don't know, I want to say it this way. Attributes or themes I love to do is to war. I mean, I like that thought of the sword. Shing. I mean, I can hear it. But I have learned over the years that some of the best warring is through peace. The most crazy places we have gone where we have had opposition, the best warring we've ever done is we have opened up the scriptures. We've gone to Psalms where it declares the goodness of God, where it declares the greatness of God. Psalm 91, you know, yeah. He's in my midst. Yeah. That's Zephaniah. Okay. I like it because it's like Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. I mean, there's tons of things. Psalm 103, where it says he's our righteousness and he pardons all your iniquities and he heals all your diseases. And we begin to declare who our God is. And we are shifting the atmospheres from how big the enemy is to how big is my papa. And that puffer fish that's been looking scary at you, he gets really small when you start declaring the goodness of God. You know, one of the scriptures I love is in Psalm where he's talking about, you know, this would have been horrible, it would have been terrible, and I wouldn't have made it had I not believed that I would have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. Come on. Those are the things. You pull out the nuggets of scripture, and the enemy's like, rah, and doing all this stuff, and you're like, yeah, but hello. This is who I serve. And it is a peaceful confrontation that shakes the heavens. It is the God of peace who will soon crush Satan under your feet. I don't think many of us understand being seated in the heavenlies. I don't think Jesus is afraid at all. And I don't think we get it. He sees from a place of being seated in the heavenlies. We are to be seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And if you can do that, you can see from a perspective that is above rather than under or in the middle of. And I'm constantly asking the Lord, Lord, show me what this looks like from the heavenlies. Show me what this thing looks like. That is so big. I walk into a room and I am being tormented by what's going on in the room. I'm hearing it. I mean, I have preached. I was in Mexico in La Paz. I was preaching. I wasn't doing very good because it was in Spanish. I was working hard at it. And I kept hearing, sit down. You don't have a clue what you're doing. It just went on. And then my team starts getting up and leaving one by one. I'm like, oh, I really don't know what I'm doing. And I finally switched into English, let the person finish. I mean, it was just tormenting inside. We get all done, I walk out and I tell my team, I'm trying to be nice to my team. I'm trying not to say, you abandoned me. Thank you very much. And I said, okay, what happened in there? Every one of my team members said, oh, I couldn't sit in there anymore. I just kept hearing, what are you doing in here? You're so stupid. You don't have a clue what you're doing. They had the same voices speaking to them. And every one of us came under it because we didn't discern that it was not our voice. And we did not master it and come over it. You know, that was a bad practice. But God did not, I never felt condemned by God. He's like, well, that's one way to train your senses. You fail. Next time, you'll probably figure it out. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you are able to extinguish the arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. When we put on the helmet of salvation, the right standing with God, it erodes that self-talk that has been belittling us and disempowering us all of our lives. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I love the Spirit. I love what we're doing in the Spirit realm. My favorite prayer is, come, Holy Spirit. But I'm really concerned when people tell me, yeah, I haven't read my Bible in 2 years. I just go with what the Spirit tells me. I'm a little concerned there. I want to know, are you hearing the right Spirit? And the longer you don't get into the Word, the easier it is to be pulled, okay? With prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, making supplications for all the saints. Some of my best prayers are this one. Shabba! Shabba-da-da! Ha-da-da-shandai! Holy cow, la da shamba la na ki da 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 shamba, he da ki da shamba. We were doing a seminar. Do you know that? I forget which antiperspirant that says, never let them see you sweat. What was that? Secret or whatever one it is. Anyway, okay. Well, we're doing a seminar. We pull up all these people. They start having that. The ground and the screaming and the slithering there. I mean, it's got all these people. It's me and Faith and all these people. So we get a couple more people up, and I'm thinking, don't let them see you panic. So in the place, it was like, Shabba, holy help. There's that place sometimes where it's like it catches you off guard. And your best prayer is, ho manana ki darasha, darasha manana. However you speak in tongues. Because what it does is it gets me out of me, and all of a sudden I'm okay. Holy Spirit can figure this one out. Doesn't matter that there's 25 of them and 2 of us. He can take care of them all. We were at the open mic night a couple Fridays ago. Oh, very scary. We walk in, and this guy is doing his Tai Chi dragon 10-minute sermon on the red dragon, the blue dragon, the green dragon, the whoever dragon, and his Tai Chi stuff. And I walk in the room, and instantly I have a headache. I'm like, oh, golly, we gotta sit through this guy again, okay? It's not too hard to discern that atmosphere. It is coming at you. It is his proselytizing of his religious stuff. And I chose to step out of the room. You know, there are times when, you know, it's like I'm not willing to engage the spirit realm that's there. You know, there are times it's not my job. Okay. Well, he gets done. We come back, Steve and I sit down, and now he's standing behind us getting all of his stuff in his, you know, taking forever, wasn't he? And even my husband was like, Shabba. I'm like, Shandarakida. I mean, I'm just going to town. I'm really quiet, but I'm thinking, dude, you are now in my space. And you could feel the atmosphere shifting, and we're taking authority over it as we were in there. Martha was there. And you can feel these things. It is interesting to watch the shifting of the atmospheres. Then we got through the alien abductee guitar player. I kid you not. He gets done and he says, "This was what I learned when I was abducted by aliens and they worked on my teeth." I'm just like, no wonder I felt insanity when he got up there. I thought it was me wanting to scream and run out of the room. Okay, all right, okay, back. So I do want you to understand that as you learn to discern, you're not always supposed to take authority over it, okay? This is not for you to run around and have this new flag that you plant everywhere. This is my moon. This is my land. Okay? Ask the Lord, am I to do something about that? Or am I just not to come under it? Okay? I'm going to, as I summarize, I'm going to have you guys stand at different times. And we're going to break some stuff off of you guys and expect it to break. Okay? When you have done all to stand, stand. When you've done all to stand, when you have discerned correctly good and evil, when you have spoken in the way and say, you know what? I didn't walk in with you, not taking you home. And by the way, I'm not waiting for you to torment me while I'm here. So no, not partnering with you. I send you back. You go away now. About a year ago, a couple years ago, they used to have talk to the hand. You know, little kids talk to the hand. Now it's like talk to the pinky. You're not even worthy of the hand. We've discerned, we've checked ourselves at the door, we've not partnered with it, and we build up our city walls, okay, by putting the boundaries. Nope, enemy, this is my land, not allowed here. You are a trespasser on my land. Do not listen to the self-talk in your head if it's condemning in any way. It'll build up your walls. Don't take on the atmosphere as yours, and you've built another wall, okay? Some people stay in inner healing for years, but they've already been healed. They just keep touching into those atmospheres and freaking out because, oh, I must not be healed. No, sweetie. You're healed. You are just discerning and haven't got a clue what to do with it. It's not yours. Don't partner with it. And there's a wall to your city that comes up. And the enemy cannot come in and raid you in that place anymore. And then release what you carry into the atmosphere. The reason why we sit through the alien abductees at open mic night is because we were waiting for the very lovely Stephanie to sing. Is she here tonight? Back there. It was almost not worth it. She was amazing, but it was the most grueling night to get to. I mean, it was 10:30, 3 hours of all this other stuff to get through. I mean, we have people that get up and they're talented, but they're talking about shooting the dog and then shooting my wife. And I mean, it just gets more and more and more depressing. And we're like, oh, please, Jesus, get somebody up here that has hope, something in this atmosphere. And she gets up and she starts to sing and she just does her stuff and it shifts the atmosphere. And it's like, yes, I can peg Christians at that open mic night. I mean, you all can. Okay, no, it's not that hard. But it releases something, even when they're not singing Christian songs, because there's a hope that's released, okay? You carry the Holy Spirit. You didn't get, I love Deborah Reed when she says, the little kids don't get junior Holy Spirits, okay? You don't have a minuscule Holy Spirit. You are carrying the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said what? If I go away, I can send to you the Helper. You know, in my logical brain, it's like He always trades up. I've seen it time and time and time again. We give him all of the stuff, good, bad, ugly, and he always comes and trades up to us. And it blows my mind to think that the Holy Spirit was a trade up to Jesus. I just think that can't be. But he says, if I don't go away, I cannot send you this. And the Holy Spirit is the power inside, okay? Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and our right standing before Papa. So you carry an atmospheric shifter. And all you have to do is not buy into all the junk that's vying for your attention. And you can release the kingdom here by your presence. I said the other day, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I would rather have that verse, surely goodness and mercy stands in front of me, waiting to tackle me and hand me all kinds of money. But it follows me all the days of my life. Why? Because I am leaving an atmosphere of goodness and mercy because of who I have in me, because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You should affect the world around you. It should not affect you. And we are able, through practice, to actually do what the word says and master it. Are you with me? How many of you have felt like you are a city without walls? Stand up. I'm not going to make you come forward. We're going to have you stand up. So any team members that just want to move around. Papa, I ask right now, I ask Papa that you would come to those places of being unprotected. And I ask that you would come and you would break off of each and every person standing that sense of helplessness and defenselessness. And I release over you the goodness of God, the protection of God, that He is your shield and your bulwark. That you do not need to be afraid of the arrow that flies by night, the pestilence that lays waste at noon. You do not have to. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. You will look upon the recompense of the wicked. I want you to hand him defenselessness. Just hand it to him. He always trades up. Papa, what do you have? What are you giving each person? You're going to get something specific for you. And it'll break that thing that has been keeping you without boundaries, without walls, tossed to and fro. Some of you have told the Lord, I don't want to feel anymore. I don't want. And that in itself is keeping you from rightly discerning. And you're still getting tossed. Some of you need to repent and say, Papa, I'm sorry. I'm willing to learn how to feel, as long as you're willing, Papa, to show me and guide me. Yeah. Show. So, Papa, I just release over this group. Actually, one more thing. Papa, I ask that you would come to that place of negative self-talk that erodes the walls that you keep building up for us and we keep tearing back down. And you, Papa, would break off the ability for our brains to actually receive that as a valid thought. Matter of fact, Papa, I ask that you would switch right now supernaturally our ears so that our ears cannot hear that self-talk. Yeah. And it'll be like that noisy gong or like Charlie Brown's teacher. Rah, 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 rah. So reach up with both hands. Just reach up. It's like, here, Papa, I don't want any of this. I want my walls. I want a city with walls. I don't want to be run over anymore. Matter of fact, I'm tired of being pushed around. And I hand to you, Papa, anything that has broken down my walls. And I receive from you your presence and your protection. Thank you, Papa. Yeah. Go ahead and sit. How many of you would like to increase your ability to discern? Stand up. Safe one to stand up on. So just put your hands out in front of you and say, Father God, I invite you to increase my discernment, to increase my ability to risk with friends, and practice discerning good and evil. I hand you fear. I don't have to fear what I feel. I can get excited because it's a word of knowledge. And it'll help me to come over it and not under it anymore. So I ask you, Papa, for a greater measure of discernment. Okay. Go ahead and have a seat. Got two more things we're doing here. Many of you would like to strengthen your ability to stand in any atmosphere you walk into. So here we go. I want you to say, Papa, I repent. I have not discerned the atmospheres. And they have tossed me to and fro. I have fought against flesh and blood. And not understood that it's about the forces and the atmosphere. And I repent. And I forgive. Anyone in my life who has joined with yucky atmospheres and has slimed me because of it. And I release them now. Holy Spirit. Yeah. Oh, hold on. I invite you to give me courage to stand and then to stand. And I prophetically declare today that when I've done all to stand, whatever measure my ability is, you, Holy Spirit, will make sure I stand. And I repent for any way I have come under atmospheres instead of releasing the kingdom. Papa, when hopelessness comes, let me release hope. Let it not even be a choice. Shema, when despair and sorrow comes, let me release life. Father God, I've made some yucky choices. Darn it. And I repent. And I ask you. And I give you permission to remove those yucky choices. So that I will walk into atmospheres. Begin to discern them. And know exactly what I'm to do. And release the opposite. That we will be the light. that the world runs to. Papa, we repent for in any way we have misrepresented Jesus. Now, none of that's condemning. That's just getting that junk off of you. Okay, you with me? So, Papa, and I want you to reach up. Would you pick me up? Yeah! And would you walk me through these shifting atmospheres? And train me by your Spirit. Until I can walk them on my own two feet. Yeah. Put your hands on your head. I want you to say, brain. No more bad talk. All right. Go ahead and have a seat. How many of you can feel something is shifting for you in that? Yeah. Come on. Before I close, I want to tell a kind of funny story. I was in a Sozo one time, and I actually was sitting on my hands. And I was rocking back and forth, and I thought, I never sit on my hands. Why am I sitting on my hands? And then I realized if my hands were in front of me, I probably would hit the person in the chair. I'm not kidding. I'm like, why am I sitting? Oh, God, smirk you. And this people was spewing this. You guys are so religious, and you guys are like this. And you, I mean, I have not heard Bethel called religious ever. You're just so religious, and you guys have this. And I'm thinking to myself, baby, I did not bring any of what you're saying into the room. I mean, I am the weird one. I am not the religious one. I mean, she's just going off on us because she sent us like a 4-page letter of what was wrong with her for her Sozos, and I shredded it. I didn't let the team read it because I'm like, I don't need to know your misery. It's just going to make me join why you're such a mess. Okay, we're going to figure it out. We're going to let the Lord take care of it. So I shred it. She's like, well, didn't you read that? Didn't? No, I'm sorry, I didn't read it. Well, you guys, and she just went off. And my other two people are like, their eyes are like this. The anger, the hatred that was just spewing out. And I don't know why anybody doesn't like me. And I don't know. And I'm like, I don't like you. I mean, she is just going to town. And finally, honestly, I did this. I'm like, well, I was trying to get her out of the room, really, is what I was trying to do, because it wasn't, she was just getting more and more angry. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, you know, but we can pray. Well, you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm sitting in my hands. I'm thinking, I'm going to bop her any minute. And I'm pretty strong. I'm thinking to myself, I could take her. Because I'm feeling the atmosphere. It's the story I'm letting you hear. And you know, my second and third are in the room, like deer in the headlights, thinking, "Oh my, what are we going to do?" And I'm like, "Well, maybe you were set up by God. It's Friday night. Maybe you're supposed to actually go listen to the sermon, and you just thought you were here for Sozo." I mean, I'm doing everything I can to be nice and honoring and get her out of the room, okay, before I hit her. Actually, the thought is before she hits me, because she's so angry. I'm being funny on the other side. And she goes, well, you guys didn't. And I said, you know what? Okay, wait. How about you just pray and ask the Lord if it's safe for you to be here with us? So she closes her eyes and she says, well, Jesus, I just wonder. And as soon as she did that, I said very quietly, because the enemy cannot read your thoughts. I said very quietly, I see you, rage. I will not partner with you, and I send you back. And bam, the whole atmosphere shifted in the room. They were like, my second, third, like, and I took my hands out. See, because it was trying to engage me. Sin is crouching at the door, and it is trying to get me to engage in it. And when I said, I see you, I have discerned correctly, I didn't bring you in the room, I'm not going to partner with you, I send you back. And it's like this, the thing actually goes back to the person that's releasing it. Well, when that happens, it's like, and she opens her eyes and she's like, she didn't hear it, but she knew something just happened. And she's like, yeah, but, and she starts to, the anger has gone back and she's realizing, oh, wait a minute. This is me. This is not you. Okay, but, and so she starts to refuel it. But you guys didn't read, and she, yeah, but Jesus says he didn't need to read the letter either. And I told her this. I said, you know what? I said, I have other tools that we can use. I will take off my boxing gloves if you're willing to. And we started the SOGO. Had I not been able to break that by coming over it, we would have gotten absolutely nowhere. Because we would have been doing that, you know, look in, check in, are you okay? You know, where are we gonna, how are we gonna get this? How are we gonna do this? It's not gonna work in my world. I had a lady come in one time like this. You know, life's horrible. It's, you know, all these things have happened. And in actuality, yeah, her life wasn't very fun. I'll give her all of that. But there was such a defeatism, such a, this is never going to work. And every time I would have her repeat something after me, she would change the wording. And I'm like, okay. I said, you need to trust me here. I do this for a living. I could say I get paid a lot of big bucks, but that wouldn't be true. I do this for a living. You just trust me on this. Yeah, but, you know, I want to trade. I want to do it. Okay, I get it. It's all that control. You're with me. The control coming out and the helplessness, and it's not going to work, and the mixed with control. Finally, I just looked at her and I said, why are you here? I'm not usually this mean. Why are you here? She goes, well, I heard that I could be healed. I heard she had all these horrible physical problems, and I heard that you guys were good. I said, then you need to trust me on this and just pray with me. And she just started to pray with me. By the end of the session, the same woman stood up, drew a line in the sand, and said, enemy, do you see this? This is my boundary, and you will not cross it. And she picked up, walked out the door. We cannot underestimate how important it is to shift the atmospheres. I just want the prayer team to come forward as we make our last, any prayer team people, and we do have prayer team people here? We don't know. We'll come up if we do. That's all we need. Hey, that is all we need. Yeah, come on up, prayer team, and we're going to invite the next group to come. I want to open this up to those of you who are tormented by your self-talk. And I want you to come forward and get prayer for that self-talk. That place inside where it's that that record that just doesn't seem to stop. And no matter what you do, you can't break it. You can't change it. And I want you to come forward. And I want you to watch the Lord break the tape. I want you to see that today is your day for a new rewriting. We had a gentleman come one time, and we were talking about stuff, and I just saw prophetically, I said, he needs new writing on the blackboard. You have written things on your blackboard that have accused you. People have written things on your blackboard or whiteboard, however you want to call it. I'm thinking of the old time in school where, let's call it a whiteboard because it sounds nicer. You have written things on your whiteboard that have been condemning. People have written things on your whiteboard that are condemning. God is going to erase those things off the board. It's going to be a clean slate. And then he's going to begin to rewrite on your board. Expect it, watch it, listen to it as you get prayer. And we're going to have them just go ahead and begin to pray with people. You don't have to tell them what it is. We don't care. You don't have to tell us what it is on your board. We are prophetically asking the Lord to wipe off the board. We are declaring a clean slate. We are saying no more to the effects of the enemy, to the words, to the word curses. Lord, I just break off every word curse that has ever been spoken over these people. Yeah, we declare, Father God, that you have an amazing ability to erase those things on the board. We declare freedom in Jesus' name. Papa, I ask that you would come to that place where we have written on the board false destinies. And I just declare that there is nothing in the background of your family that you have to walk in. And I break off the fear of mental illness. I break off the fear of perversion. I break off the fear of following in the footsteps of family members who have come before. And we say, no, we do not have to live this way anymore. And we declare it finished in Jesus' name. So team, just keep walking around and praying for people. Yeah. And Papa, as we are watching you remove the lies off the board, removing the self-talk even, the ticker tape that keeps saying all of those things, like that recorder that just keeps going over and over and over, that as you break that tape, Papa, I ask that you would infuse the thought processes of the brain to begin again. We declare righteousness, goodness, and peace in Jesus Christ. And I invite the God of peace, the Shalom, to come and to crush the atmosphere of the enemy that has been harassing this group. So team members, you're praying and you're moving to the next person. I want to make sure that everybody gets hands laid on them for this prayer. Okay, raise your hand if you've not yet had a team member pray for you. Okay, so team members, look around. It's kind of hard, but keep your hand up until someone gets to you. Doesn't have to take long. You're just praying, you're breaking, we're declaring it, and we're releasing the opposite, and then you can move on.